we think that 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day run through our head, and sadly, it's the negative ones that we tend to hear the loudest. But using a set of daily simple questions, we can stop them the instant they pop up and sabotage us. That's what our guest today, Aura Natrich, says, and her book says how one simple question can change the way you think forever is now available for you. Aura is an inspired, popular media guest, and she is a life coach certified, a certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of this book, Says Who. She lives in California, I believe, and has a family out there, and we're privileged to have her on the show today, and we're going to tell you about negative thinking. Hi, Aura.
Hi, Wynn.
You live in California?
I do. I am here in Los Angeles, California.
Well, there's a place that generates a lot of negative thinking.
This is true. We got some of that going on here for sure.
Okay, so people write books for different reasons, and I'm interested in you telling our listeners your personal story and why you wrote this one.
Well, I say that my first Says Who moment really happened many, many years ago, and I was very young when it happened, so I didn't know that that's what it would be called eventually when I sat down and wrote this book many years later. And my Says Who moment was that when I was not quite 15 years old, my sister, who I just loved and adored and idolized, I have two older sisters, my one sister had a devastating nervous breakdown, and it was just shocking, and it was very, very tragic, and it was very traumatic for me. I'm the youngest of four, and as I said, I was pretty young then and still developing so much in my life and my maturation. And when that happened to my sister, I went into severe fear, fight or flight, as we call it. And I went into such a fear state that, you know, when we go into fight or flight, we basically feel that our survival is threatened. And thoughts rush to the foreground of our mind, you know, such as, oh my God, I'm going to die, my life is over. You know, there are many things we tell ourselves out of fear. And for me, the thought that took hold in my psyche was, oh my God, this is going to happen to me. What happened to my sister will happen to me. And that thought was, again, born just out of severe fear. And what happened is that I basically buried that thought. And that's really what happens, is that when we have a thought that we tell ourselves that doesn't get tended to or worked with or processed and ultimately understood and healed, we then experience what I call the side effects of that thought, the symptoms of that thought. And that's what happened to me. And I started to experience anxiety. And I didn't know why. And my anxiety started to get worse and worse and worse, and it started to impact my life. And I didn't know at the time that the very thing that was causing that anxiety was my constant fear that I would go crazy like my sister. And it took me on, you know, a very deep psycho-spiritual journey for a very, very long time, because I knew something was wrong and I didn't know why. So that really was the very beginnings of my personal journey. And then it was, you know, fast forward to many years later when I became a certified life coach, and started to work with clients and started to see similar patterns in some of my clients of believing something that wasn't true, that was impacting their life, that I decided to write this book, Says Who.
That's one of the important questions, and we'll talk about that in a second. you approach negative thinking a little differently than me. I see it as an addiction, and you don't use that word terribly, but I think we're talking along the same path. Negative thinking, in my opinion, results from fear or anger primarily, and secondarily from resentment, jealousy, self-pity, guilt, and shame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a very common behavior, whether you want to label it as an addiction or not. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if this is things that are bothering you, this negative thinking, negative thoughts, you need to ask this question: does this behavior hurt me or hurt someone I love? And if I can't stop it for whatever reason, then you're addicted to it. So you can kind of take that as my way of looking at negative thinking. Marcus Aurelius the Roman wrote, as within, so without.
Yes.
As you think, so you become. And
yes,
as you know, or your thoughts determine your beliefs, and then your attitude, and then your behaviors. And your behaviors determine how the world and the universe relates to you and what your life becomes, how happy or sad you are in your life. So that's why we need to talk about thoughts, because that's the starting block of everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more about everything that you just pointed out. It all begins with a thinking mind. It all begins with the thoughts that we tell ourselves and the thoughts that we believe. And yes, how you describe, you do connect the dots. Thoughts create emotions, create behavior, create reality. Or as I say in Says Who, you are the creator and master of your inner dialogue, which creates your reality. And I know that can be a very sort of large concept for people that really are at the effect of their thinking mind, primarily their negative thoughts. And what I want to offer up with Says Who is to really let people know that each and every one of us can change and transform our thoughts. And even if you are used to or addicted to thinking negatively, because it's all you've known, and we know that that becomes a familiar, that if you are ready to relinquish and change those habits of a lifetime that have become your addictions, that you can experience truly life transformation.
That's absolutely true. And in your book, you say how one simple question can change the way you think forever. Let's go over the seven questions that you talk about. The first one is, says who?
Yes, says who? Such an important question to ask a negative or fear-based thought. And it's a brave question to ask, because when we ask ourselves, says who, we're really taking that very first step to looking at the truth of a thought that is causing us pain or diminishing us in some way. And, you know, for a lot of people, they're a little more comfortable kind of pushing that away and not what I call in Says Who, owning those negative thoughts. It's a lot easier to pretend or deny having negative thoughts. But it's a lot more brave and honest to step forward and ask yourself that very first question, says who? Who is saying that thought in my mind? Who is telling me that I am unlovable, that I'm unworthy, that I'm bad, that I'm a horrible person, that I'm never going to amount to anything? You know, all the things that we tell ourselves that we believe are true. So by asking oneself that very first question, says who? It is really walking through that door and saying, I am ready to look at this thought and ask myself, who is saying this thought in my mind? I am. I am telling myself this, and I am now going to take the steps to change that thought and to experience transformation.
Well, the things that you just described that runs through people's minds if they ask that question are the same things that cause a person to be addicted to a behavior, which is low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And your low self-esteem questions that you just ask is what is putting that person in that situation. So it's good to say, says who?
Yeah.
Who says that I'm not worthy? Who says that I'm not good enough? And that's a good starting place. Now, the second question, have I heard someone say this thought before?
That's a very important question because, as you said, Wynn, yes, we do. We think between, 40 to 70,000 thoughts a day, and a very good percentage of them are negative and do not serve our well-being. It's also really important to know that many of the thoughts that we carry around and we are stuck to or addicted to didn't even originate with us. They may have originated with somebody else long ago in childhood. It could have been a thought that somebody said to you. It could have been an opinion that someone had of you. It could have been something that somebody, a parent, a teacher, an authority figure, the bully on the schoolyard, told you about yourself, and you took it on as real and believed it to be true. I've worked with many clients who we were able to go back and identify the very first time they heard something or were told something about themselves. And at that moment, they were like, oh, okay, well, I guess I am a terrible person. I guess I will never be good at basketball, or I'll never be a good writer, or I'll never be attractive enough. Something was said to them that did not originate with them, and once that was introduced to their thinking mind, they took it on as real and believed it to be true. So it's important to identify if, in fact, you've heard the negative thought that you have carried over into adulthood. Where did you first hear it about yourself? When did you first believe it to be true? Very important to identify it.
Someone important, and I don't remember exactly who it was, said, and this is good advice for parents, but it's good advice for all of us, one criticism takes seven attaboys to make up for. And if you realize that in your younger life you're getting criticized by everybody, you never get enough attaboys to get rid of that in your mind. So
it's true. And, think about when we're young, we're vulnerable, we're susceptible, we're gullible, we're impressionable. I mean, that's a really unrealistic expectation to have of a young person when something is said to them. You know, there used to be that saying, what was it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but, I don't even know, it's so old.
Words will never hurt me.
We stand up to our, to those that criticize us, or, we don't say says who, on the schoolyard when a bully. Now, today's bullying is even happening, on the Internet. People don't stand up for themselves, and we certainly aren't expected to stand up for ourselves when we're young. So that originated for the most part a long time ago. That's when we formed those beliefs and have been walking around with them for a very long time.
Well, let's go on to question number three. Do I like this thought?
These questions are very simple, but they're very logical, and they work. When you ask yourself, which is one of my favorites, do I like this thought? What is it about a negative thought that you like? Again, if you're going with your idea of addiction, it must be serving a purpose for you. Logically, you would wonder, what is it about a negative thought that you like? Do you like the way that negative thought, makes you feel about yourself? Does it make you feel confident? Do you like feeling insecure? Do you like feeling not confident? Do you like feeling bad about yourself? Do you like feeling that you're a horrible person? They don't go together. It's important to ask yourself, what is it about that thought that you actually thought, that you actually like? I worked with a client who was really on what I call the hamster wheel. She's very attached to a negative thought that she kept telling herself over and over and over again. And I said to her, can I ask you something? And she said, sure. I said, do you like that thought? Well, her eyes widened like saucers because these questions really stop those thoughts in their tracks. Again, they're simple but powerful. And she looked at me and she said, no. No, I don't like that thought. As a matter of fact, I hate that thought. I mean, she said it vehemently. And I said, okay, I just want you to be with that. Be with that you keep allowing yourself to have a thought that you're entertaining, that you're hosting, that you're letting take up good energy in your mind that you not only don't like, you hate. Powerful. Powerful.
Absolutely. Now, before we get on to the next question, I want to kind of digress just a second and tell the audience, what are the types of negative thinking or negative thoughts? And here's eight. One, judging other people. Two, refusing to trust. Three, pessimism. Four, fearing. Five, chronic hopelessness. Six, depreciating oneself or others. Number seven, unwarranted defensiveness. And number eight, complaining and whining. Now, if any of those strike a bell with you, you're at the right place to hear what Nora and I have to say today, because so many of these things are just common occurrences as far as thinking in people's lives, and you don't have to live with them. So, Nora, let's go on to the next next question in your book about banishing negative thoughts. How does this thought make me feel better?
Again, very logical question to ask, because, you know, if one is really honest with themselves, you know, and asking questions like, you know, do I like this thought? No, I really don't like this thought. You know, I just don't like it. And yet I keep thinking it and I keep allowing for it. And does this thought make me feel better? How does a negative thought make you feel better? Are you attached to feeling bad? You know, you've got to be really honest with yourself. If you're willing to take these steps that you and I are proposing, when for somebody to really change, you know, it requires honesty. It requires us to really take a hard look at how much we allow for ourselves to keep thinking thoughts that we don't like and that do not make us feel better. Positive thoughts make us feel better. Negative thoughts don't. They make us feel continuously bad about ourselves. They make us feel the insecurity, the, you know, undermining of ourselves, you know, validating how horrible we are. And again, if one is attached to that, then they'll allow for it. If one really wants to change that, they're going to change their thoughts and want thoughts that make them feel better and want to think thoughts that they like.
These seven questions that you need to ask yourself are in our author's book today. Her book is called Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. And Nora, how do they get a copy of your book?
They can get a copy of my book. A very easy way to do it is to order it on Amazon.com. You get it pretty quickly. Or Barnes & Noble. You know, if you live near a local bookstore, perhaps they can order it for you if you're not somebody that goes on the internet. But those are the fastest ways to get the book. It also comes in Kindle as well.
Can they get it through your website? And
they can get it through my website also. Thank you, Wynn, for mentioning that. They can get it on my website, which is Aura, O-R-A, at Aura Life Coach, OraLifeCoach.com, yes.
And what about this other website, AuraNadrich.com?
That's my, Aura at Aura Life Coach is my email, and AuraNadrich.com is my website. Thank you for catching that.
There you go.
If you want to send me a message, you want to email me, please do at aura@auralifecoach.com. But yes, my website, auranadrich.com, auranadrich.com. It's chock full of so many things that I'm doing, workshops that are coming up that I'm doing. You can, again, order my book on my website. It'll take you directly to, you know, one of those book outlets that you can order it from.
Okay. Now, let's get back to those seven questions to banish negative thoughts. And the next question, does this thought work for me?
Again, a no-brainer. I go over these so many times, and each and every time I do, it's just simple logic, simple wisdom. How does your negative thought work for you? Is it getting you ahead in your life? Is it helping your relationships? Is it helping you get up in the morning and feeling good about yourself? Does it help you advance yourself in any way? The answer is probably no. Negative thoughts don't do that for us. Negative thoughts diminish us, period. End of story. That is what they do. They don't work for us favorably. You're going to be hard put to come up with answers as to how your negative thought is working for you favorably. You may be able to come up with how it's working for you negatively. And again, you know, very honest, very much taking a hard look at what these negative thoughts do and don't do for you.
Thinking about what you just said about relationships, negative thoughts drive a wedge between people in relationships, and I'm quite certain that the high rate of divorce in our country has a lot to do with negative thoughts from one's partner.
I agree. I think that's a really good point, Wynn. I work with clients, and it's interesting, you know, there's a lot of multi-levels to relationships, obviously, and a lot of, you know, dynamics that take place in relationships, but negativity definitely plays, it can play a very heavy role in the dynamic, and, you know, it can be very destructive in a relationship, in that, you know, criticism and judgment, as you spoke about earlier, and the negative things that we can tell another person, that is so hurtful, you know, and there's constructive ways to support each other in a relationship, which is based on positive thinking and based on possibilities. And we can't really join together in a relationship unless we're willing to support each other in a positive way.
Have you thought about the aura that a person puts out with respect to negativity, how it can affect people without even speaking the negative thought?
Absolutely, and that's, again, such a good thing to point out. You know, I do believe very much in the energy that we put out. Thoughts are energy. Thoughts create energy. They create a vibration. They create a frequency. You know, that's why you can be around somebody who's not even speaking to you, and what do you sense about them if they're in a negative mindset? You pick up an energy that doesn't feel light, and it doesn't feel that it's full of love and full of positivity. And it is the aura, the A-U-R-A, that surrounds people. We all have it. And if we are really, you know, thinking thoughts that are about light and love and positivity and kindness and compassion, we give off that energy. You know, that's attractive. And that's why we are drawn to each other when we are in that energy frequency. And everybody can go there. You know, I really want to emphasize that this is something that each and every person on this planet can realize. We come into the world like that. We come in as these divine light beings. And that's what I want, says who, to help people connect to that place in them, that they came into the world as these divine light beings. That's what I want them to know, that they can come home to that part in themselves again. Do you know, it really inspires me to reach people and say, you know, even though you have maybe gotten used to and or addicted to your thinking thought patterns, you can change them. You can come back to who you really are, which is this beautiful divine being who has thoughts of an energy of light and love and compassion and kindness. I think the world would be much better off if each and every one of us connected to that part within ourselves and learned how to practice and learned how to cultivate positive, kind thinking.
When you get around a negative person, they act as a energy vampire or,
totally.
Or
yes.
A creativity vampire.
Yeah.
And when I used to work the circuit, I did a stage presentation on negative thinking as one of the things that I spoke about, and I would get a person out of the audience and bring them up on stage and ask them to hold their arm out stiffly and don't let me push it down, and I'd try to push it down, and they would hold it up there pretty good. And unless they were a really small person, I couldn't really push that arm down. And then I would tell them to think back in your life to the worst thing that ever happened to you and concentrate on that and do this again. And you know what happened, of course, their arm would not stay up. It pushed right down.
Right.
That's stage one. Then I started bringing people up from the audience and standing them shoulder to shoulder and doing the same thing over and over again. And I remember one time I got seven people in line, and the seventh person could not hold their arm up when this person was negative thinking. So
Wow. What
does that mean? That means that you don't even have to say anything.
Right.
There's going to be a certain distance out there where people are going to be picking up your negativity, and, you know, that's something that's really important to think about.
It really is. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. It is an energy. It is a frequency. And, you know, we give off that energy. You know, again, thought is energy. And it gives it off, and people can pick it up. You know, so you have to really understand that your thoughts do have that energy. You know, there's that great water experiment. I think it's Dr. Emoto. I don't know if I'm saying his name correct. And that water, if you infuse water, if you put like a negative thought in water versus a positive thought, you know, even if you just surround it or you write a negative thought on a piece of paper versus a positive thought, that it all has energy and frequency to it. You know, we absorb that on an energetic level. And, you know, you can see that with people. And, you know, all you have to do is ask yourself, what type of energy do you think you're giving out with a thought that you're holding in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Is it positive or is it negative?
That's right. And if you have issues with those things that I went over before with you, then you are putting energy out into the world, and it's not going to benefit neither you nor anybody that comes within your sphere of influence. Now let's go on to the next question. Am I in control of this thought?
Yes, another important question to ask, because, you know, I work with a lot of people that will say to me, you know, Aura, you know, I feel so taken over by my negative thoughts. I feel so out of control. I feel that when a negative thought comes up, it just takes me over, and I am so at the effect of it. You know, and says who, I talk about negative thoughts being like imposters. It's like somebody who's a trespasser that comes onto your property. If they came onto your property, you wouldn't say, oh, hey, come on in and take whatever you want. You would say, you don't belong here. Please get off my property, or something else, however you would want to tell them to leave. Negative thoughts are like imposters. They come in, and they make themselves right at home in our mind, and we allow for it. And the next thing we know, we feel taken over by them. And it creates the feeling that you are out of control. But the fascinating thing about that win is that I say, who do you think is creating these thoughts in your mind? You are. If you have the power to think them up, if you have the power to create them in your mind, you have the power to dissolve and dismantle and to change them and to transform them. So that feeling of, do I feel in control, or does this thought feel like it's controlling me, that's how it feels when a negative thought has that much power over you, because you've basically allowed it to do so.
There's not a lot of things that you can control in your life. Mainly the world and the universe controls a lot of things that you don't have any power over. Mm-hmm. The one thing that you can possibly have some power over is your thoughts, and you're helping people work on that, and that's very, very important. Aura Natrich Says Who is her book, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. Now go over to Amazon and get that, or go to auranatrich.com and order it, or you can probably find it on the internet if you search for it. Well, we're getting to the seventh thought. Do I want to keep this thought or let it go?
Right, exactly. And I say that when you really taken that major first step. I am saying this. Says who? Who is saying this negative thought in my mind? I am. Identified where you've heard it, if it's not your original thought. Decided that you don't like it. Know that it doesn't make you feel better. Realize that it doesn't work for you. And tired of feeling that you're not in control of it, I would think that by the time you get to the seventh question, do I want to keep this thought or let it go, that you have a very strong, definitive yes. I am ready to let this thought go.
One thing I used to do on stage was tell people to put a rubber band around their wrist, and when they had a negative thought, start popping themselves until they quit thinking about it.
Not a bad idea. You know, any little reminders, I have also in the book something called Release and Replace. We don't have time, obviously, to cover it now, but I have little post-its that have Release and Replace on it. You know, release a negative thought and replace it with something positive. You know, switch it out, and you become more mindful of your thinking mind. You know, this is a daily practice.
Do we have enough time to talk about the steps to overcome job stress or not today?
I don't know, Wynn. I don't know how much time, more time we have.
Well, my day's pretty free. I could go over that with your potential audience if you would like to.
Sure, we could cover it over, you know, just the basics of job stress. Again, you know, I wrote a article called 4 Steps to Overcome Stress in the Workplace. And, you know, work-related stress is reaching an epidemic level. You know, people feel very stressed at work. And again, going back to managing your thoughts, you know, to take that moment, you know, also as a mindfulness meditation teacher, I try to encourage people to take a moment just to take a couple of deep breaths in and out when you're feeling stressed, because the breath is everything. You know, we have it at our disposal every single waking and sleeping second of our life. Take a moment, take a few seconds to take that breath when you're feeling stressful. A couple of breaths, deep breaths in and out, and go into what I call the observer, so that at work, when you're starting to feel really stressed, your heart is racing, you're feeling really like overwhelmed, your shoulders are feeling all tensed up, and be very aware of the thoughts that you're telling yourself. You know, rather than to say, oh, I'm never going to get this finished, I'm going to get fired, I'm terrible at my job, I'm going to, you know, all the things, listen to the negative self-talk, that you catch it and tell yourself that you are going to get through this. Do you know that you are first beginning with acknowledging the stress that you're feeling? You know, feel that in your body. It's very important for us to connect to what we're feeling in our bodies and to acknowledge a stressful or a negative thought that we're telling ourselves so that we can recognize its existence, even if it's upsetting. Don't deny what you're feeling. Don't deny the thoughts that you're telling yourself. But again, to be with it and know that you can tell yourself something different to get through that moment.
And you say shift from the reactive mode to the observer mode?
Right, because what happens to us is that we're very quick to go into reactive mode. You know, again, and Says Who really covers this much more in depth about teaching you how to acknowledge a thought when it comes up, to go into observation mode, not to go into reactive mode. And, you know, when I say be the observer, it's like you're standing next to yourself, as if you were watching yourself, that you can go, okay, you know, I'm going to take a couple of deep breaths in and out, and I'm going to really work through this thought, as opposed to just allowing yourself to just go off the handle and just become so reactive. Going into reactive mode does nothing at all to help. You then have allowed that thought to create an emotion, which is, again, feeling like it's taking you over. So by shifting into observer mode, you're going out of that reactive mode. And, you know, in reactive mode, you really don't have any distance from that negative thought. But when you go into observer mode, it's like you're becoming the witness to yourself. And that's when you can really start to, again, do what I call the release that negative thought and replace it with a thought that does help you and is helping serve your well-being in that moment. to get your job done at work, to do the task that you need to accomplish. You know, it's like managing yourself. It's learning how to stay calm so that you can manage yourself and that you can be most effective on your job to get done what you need to get done.
And then your other two points are ask the question, says who, and then continue with the questions until you get through them. I was thinking maybe it might be a good idea to get your book and write those questions down. And
absolutely. I have a workbook, a very useful workbook, by the way, in Says Who. It's really great sometimes to just get things down in writing and also to learn the Says Who questions by heart. You know, you can put them on a Post-it. You can stick it in your wallet. They're very easy to learn by heart. And, you know, get into the habit of asking yourself, says who? You're going to be good. It's like, you know, it's developing mind strength. It's also opening up new pathways in your thinking mind so that you're not so quick to go down that road of negativity and that you start to train your mind how to go down the pathway of positivity. Do you know, this becomes developing. It's like a muscle. And even if you ask yourself a few of the says who questions, says who, oh, really, who is saying that I'm not going to get this job done? Of course I'm going to get it done. Thank you very much, negative thought. I have no use for you. You know, I'm all for self-talk in a positive, productive, constructive way. You know, you got to tell your thoughts who's boss. You are.
Absolutely. And the book is called Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. You can get it from Aura's website, or you can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookstore. It's a very good book if you're plagued by negative thinking. And if you are, and you can't stop it, and it's hurting you, then you're addicted to it, too. And you need to find out how to get rid of your addictions permanently. I would suggest that you get a copy of my book, Freedom from Addiction 2, How to Help Your Spouse, Child, or Grandchild Cure Their Addictive Disease. And if you can wait a couple weeks, maybe three, four, I'll have the third edition out, which you will have some additional information in there so that you can pick up a copy of that. And Laura, it's been so nice having you on the program today talking about negativity, because it's one of the major problems that we face every day.
Yes, thank you so much, Wynn, for having me. I really enjoy being on your show.
Okay. Pick up a copy of Laura's book. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks again, Wynn.